the special meeting of the Personnel, Pension, and Insurance Committee of the Metropolitan District, Wednesday, April 28th, 2021. Are there any public comments relative to agenda items? Again, are there any public comments relative to agenda items? There being none, we move to item three. May I have a motion with regard to approval of the meeting minutes of February 10th, 2021?
Move the minutes of February 10th, 2021, Sweezy.
Do I have a second?
I'll second it, Commissioner Payne.
All right. Are there any additions, comments?
Mr. Chairman, this is Scott Jellison. Before we get on to the first item, if I could just have a few minutes.
Let's vote on the motion.
Well, let's vote on this motion and get this cleared.
Sure.
All right. Okay. All those in favor?
We're three.
Aye.
Opposed? Any abstentions? The matter passes. All right. If there is no objection, Scott, you wanted to make a comment, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. I apologize. We will be giving you full reports at the next regular PPI meeting, but I thought it was important today to announce Bob Zike has identified to us that he's going to retire on July this coming year. So I do have Olga Cordova and Jamie Harlow. Olga has been with us for 15 years and really has taken over for Marcy on the HR side. And Jamie's been with us for the last 2 years working directly with Bob on the labor side. And as you know, we've been talking about this for a while, anticipation of Bob retirement. And is why, really, in 2017, we hired Worker Comp Trust to do our worker comp and FMLA. And with Jamie as taking over labor relations for Bob, it's been a very good transition. As you know, Worker Comp Trust, from 2017 to 2018, we reduced our liability, our workers' comp, by almost $700,000. And it's been steady at that pace for the last 3 years with them here. So Bob Zike has been a tremendous influence on the MDC. He's done a great job. He's probably one of the hardest working individuals at the MDC. And I do want to thank him in PPI for all the good things he has done for us. I do have Olga and Jamie on, and I just wanted to just reintroduce them. I know I've introduced them in the past, but I think it's important for PPI to see their faces and to really hear from them. If you mind, just give me a few minutes for Olga and Jamie to talk for a few seconds. Jamie? Olga, are you there?
Yeah, I am here. I'll go first then. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Olga Cordova, and I have been with the MDC since 2007, actually. Prior to joining the MDC, I worked as an HR professional at Hamilton Sunstrand, which is a division of United Technologies. And I was there for about 10 years supporting a workforce of 1,300 employees. In my 13-plus years that I've been at the MDC, I have worked in many capacities, most recently as an HR administrator. And throughout the years, I have had the opportunity to be exposed to just about every aspect of HR with limited exposure to the labor side. I have a solid understanding of the different contracts, but that's the extent of my exposure to the labor side. I have assisted in the past with recruiting efforts and have acted as a benefits administrator for active employees and retirees prior to Katie and joining our team. And those opportunities have allowed me to become very familiar with within those areas to provide continuous support, even though I'm not actively supporting those activities right now. In addition, I continue to provide client support to our workforce. I work closely with the payroll department to ensure that our payroll runs seamlessly. I am also the point of contact for all workers' compensation matters, and I work closely with workers' comp trust to ensure that all claims are being handled appropriately and in a timely manner. On the HRIS arena, I act as the work stream lead for HR and in the business transformation team, formerly, and now at the business enablement team. I have been and will continue to be responsible for calculating and processing the final payouts for our retirees prior to their retirement. And I also work with Rita Kelly every year to prepare the statistics that she needs to put the affirmative action report together. That's all I have.
Thank you. Jamie, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes, Jamie. Okay, great. Sorry, I was having some technical difficulties. So thank you. Again, I'm Jamie Harlow. I'm a newcomer, I guess, to HR, but not to HR in general. I've been with the district about a year and a half, and prior to that, I have almost 20 years of HR experience, 15 of which have been at the management level. Most recently, prior to joining the district, I was a director of HR for a local university where I was actively engaged with union and non-union employees. I was the primary contact for all union work. I also oversaw all of our health and welfare benefits, worked very closely with university leadership, benefit committees, all of that just to make sure the plans were running appropriately. So all the medical, dental, vision plans, life insurance, all of those things. Also worked very closely with our benefit consultant in those situations as well. I also oversaw all of our workers' compensation, most of the compliance initiatives, including affirmative action, and also worked on a regular basis with university leadership to coach, direct, train, and really just kind of be their main point of contact. Since I've joined the MDC, to Scott's point, I've worked very closely with Bob Zike to hopefully make this a smooth transition, and really at this point I'm handling the full scope of the labor side. So I work very closely with district leadership, work very closely with the unions, also with the directors, managers, and supervisors on a regular basis. Also, since I've been with the district, when Marcy left, I took on a lot of the recruitment. So I'm working very closely now with our professional level associate, managing the recruitment side of things for the district. Also, we've obviously been in COVID for over a year at this point, and from the beginning of the pandemic have been a primary partner in that process, making sure that we are adhering to any compliance initiatives that we're communicating and that we really are adhering to protocols and we have good plans in place. So again, worked very closely with management and leadership on that. I also have taken on a number of different participation in district projects, and at this point really have taken the last year and a half to learn as much as I can about the district and really apply my years of experience in HR to best support the district. So thank you.
Thank you, Jamie. Thank you, Olga. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I apologize, but I just thought it was important to let the PPI aware that Bob is retiring and make them feel comfortable that we have a plan in place that really started in 2017 for Bob's transition. So thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Ray Sweezy, I'd like to ask Scott a question.
Sure.
Okay. As we're doing with the CFO, you've gone out for a national search. Are you also going to go out for the director of HR, or are you going to hire that director within house, or have you not made up your mind yet?
To our point, Mr. Chairman, Bob Zike was really the leader in our labor relations, and really Jamie has taken over that component of Bob Zike's role. He also was he's focused on pension and on workers' comp and FMLA. So I mentioned this at other PPI meetings, the logic, institutional knowledge that Bob Zike has, and to try and train someone to do that job, it would be extremely difficult. And so our logic in 2016 was really to start to take the big things that Bob Zike focused on and transition them out to outside consultants like Worker Comp Trust. Now we're going to be talking about the Milliman pension calculations. So the logic is really, instead of trying to replace Bob Zike, let's take this opportunity to transition that work to other outside consultants. And at this point, we would probably not consider filling that role until we felt the need. But right now, we're in very, very good shape with the transition. And we believe that Jamie and Olga are doing an excellent job.
Scott, this is Al Taylor. I guess I've got some questions here. And those really relate to some overall overarching policy issues, which I think needs to be discussed at PP&I. I would suggest that everyone come to a dead stop at this point on this particular presentation and issue. Because I think there are some things that we need to discuss and decide with regard to the HR department. I think that we have some issues company-wide and policy-wise that we need to deal with, and I would prefer that we have those in a context where Chairman DeBoa is also present. And once again, I'm not hunting for anybody or anything like that, but I just think that there's some overarching issues that we need to discuss and think about. And I think at that point, if no one has any other comments to make on this particular issue at this particular time, we will move to item four, because I think that Becky would like to make her presentation and get on about her busy day. So, Becky, and unless Scott, you want to make any comments with regard to Becky's presentation. Becky, it's you have the
floor. Yeah, I think Becky, you all know Becky, and she's done a great job, and she's presented to you in the past. So this is just a formalization of previous presentations regarding Milliman's taking over of the pension calculation for MDC's retirees.
Can't hear you, Becky.
You're muted, okay. Becky.
Okay.
She's muted.
You're muted, Becky.
No, Becky, you're unmuted now, but we can't hear you, unfortunately. It doesn't work.
Not working.
I'll send you the phone number, Becky. You can call in on a phone for the audio.
Hi, good afternoon. This is Yelena Pelletier. I work with Becky Seelman, and I've met some of you. I believe first we were going to discuss our taking over of the pension administration, and we have Laura Bucher here, who's been handling that, who's going to give you an update.
Go ahead.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, great. Okay. Hi, my name is Bucher.
Laura, you've got an echo. You've got an echo there, Laura. Can you?
I do.
Yeah.
Okay.
You sound okay now, Laura.
I sound okay?
Yes.
I put on some headphones, and that might help with the echo. I didn't change anything, so.
You're good now.
Okay, well, my son's bringing me some headphones. Maybe that'll help in general. I don't like the echo.
Oops.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Let me know if it causes any more problems again. Thank you for having me today. You know, it's good to meet everyone. Even in this virtual format, I'm looking forward to talking to you today about the pension administration project we've been working on for the past year. Just a little bit of background about me. I've been with Milliman for almost 26 years, and I've been in pension administration almost the whole time. I've been on all aspects of pension administration, from calculations to data reconciliation, implementation, participant communications, et cetera. And I've been working with Becky and Yelena and others during this whole conversion. As you know, Milliman has been providing actuarial services to the MDC for many years. And starting in 2019, started talking to Milliman about helping out with the administration. And in May of last year, just as the pandemic was really starting to get a hold, we started the conversion from in-house administration to a full outsourcing solution. And together with Kelly and Bob Dyke and Cadian and many others at MDC, we've accomplished a lot over the last year. And so I'm just going to talk about some of the accomplishments we've had over the year. You know, the whole idea of this is not only just to move the administration of the plan to Milliman, but also to, you know, relieve the HR group of having to maintain that expertise in-house that is very difficult to maintain. Is it possible to share my screen at all?
Yes.
I looked at the share button here, and it's not.
I have to give you the ability. Okay. Just 1 second.
Kelly, did you want to say anything up front at all?
No, I was going to introduce you, but you've been introduced, or you've introduced yourself. So, and Yelena's help, so I will turn it over to you.
Okay.
And just to do an audio check, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay.
Welcome to the meeting.
Thank you.
And you should be all set, Laura, to present.
Okay. Yeah, it looks like I am. Thank you. So this isn't much. It's just a kind of a visual for you. So we started the implementation back in May of last year, and we had biweekly calls with several people at the MDC. We spent a significant amount of time on plan provision documentation, getting everything documented in one place, going through the nuances and the details of the plan, and getting, you know, really all of the nuggets of information out of Bob's head that we could, and getting them all down in one place, that we could get it all documented so that we could, Milliman, we could become the experts of this plan. You know, once we got that documented, we used that document for the programming of our system and also for training of our analysts and our customer service representatives as well. We spent a significant amount of time on data review, and loading the data, and reconciliation of the data, programming the system, et cetera. And so it was about a 9-month implementation. We went live in February, so it's been almost 3 months already since we've been live. And things have been, you know, we worked out a few kinks over the first 3 months, and I expect as we continue to go forward that over the next few months things are going to get even more smooth. We've moved to monthly meetings, which is a good thing. That means we're kind of working through everything, and we don't have as much to talk about anymore. Our accomplishments over this past year, you know, we got a significant amount of data from the MDC. We got over 30 files of data for a relatively small population. And so we had to look at each of these different files and reconcile, you know, who was in which group and what status they were in and what data was coming from each of these different files. So it was a lot of review of the data and reconciling the data and getting that cleaned up. We've cleaned up a few different items from
disabilities to service discrepancies. There was a number of people who had actually received distributions of their employee contributions, and so they shouldn't have received additional service. So we got a lot of that stuff cleaned up. We programmed our calculation engine. We did a significant amount of testing. The calculation engine is the same thing that we use at our desktops at Milliman, and is the same thing that the participants use on the website for their calculations. So we did a significant amount of testing on those calculations, all different scenarios, normal retirement, early retirement, late retirements, those kinds of things. And so, you know, so the participants should be able to go out to the website and run calculations of their benefits. We developed the participant paperwork. It's a little bit different how we do things. When we run a calculation, the entire paperwork is created at the same time, so you're not inputting data from one thing to another. So the whole, you know, the cover letter, the calculation, the required notices, any other forms to fill out, the signature pages, all those kinds of things all come out at one time. We also created the plan sponsor website, or the participant website, for them to go out and run calculations of their benefits, but also to download information like SPDs, and also the participants are able to upload paperwork or other documents so that we can get those. We established the plan sponsor website, and that's where Kadian and Bob, Kelly, and others can go out and they can see the data. We also created a change of address, a custom change of address report that Kadian had requested. We established the weekly payroll feed, so we worked with the SAP programmers, and that is going really well now. We are getting a weekly feed of mostly payroll information, so pay for the week, but in addition to that, it reports to us all new hires, terminations, any demographic changes from address changes, those kinds of things. So that's all reported on a weekly basis. Is there a question?
No, someone was joining, that's all.
Oh, okay. We have been established as the Aetna liaison as well, so we work directly with Aetna now, and so all new retiree paperwork comes to us. We process that incoming paperwork, we check it for completeness, so that doesn't go to Bob anymore. So we send out the paperwork, but we also get the paperwork back in, we review it, and then we send the information on to Aetna to get the new retiree paid. We also do all the death processing, finding beneficiaries, etc. So we do all the communications with Aetna. So any address changes or direct deposit changes, all the kind of detail work, we are doing that directly with Aetna as well. And then on a monthly basis, we reconcile our database to Aetna's database to make sure that those are in sync and, you know, that we agree with how much is actually being paid on a monthly basis to the retirees. We also provided the 1/1/21 valuation data to Becky's team, Becky and Elena. That's not actually normally something we would do for a evaluation date prior to when we go live, but with the data we had, we were able to provide that data, so I think that was helpful. And then just going forward, you know, we're very proactive at administration. We're looking for people who are approaching normal retirement age and reaching out to them for their paperwork, those inactive people, from vested terminated people or people who are due a return of their contributions. We also proactively calculate benefits upon termination. So if somebody leaves the MDC, we do those calculations of their benefits as soon as they leave, and we send them their information. Just a few service center stats there on the right. Just over the last few months, we've received over 130 calls, over 50 emails. The participants have definitely been using the website. Over 150 people have gone out there. Some of those, I mean, they could be duplicate people, a person gone out there twice. For the most part, those are unique users. And they've run over 300 pension estimates on the website. And the task completed is just more of an internal tracking system that we use for when people call in to request a retirement application or an estimate, or they're reporting a death or those kinds of things. we've completed over 100 of those. So these are all tasks and calls and emails and those kinds of things that have really been taken off the plate of Bob and others at MDC. And it's been a great year. It's been really great working with Kelly and Bob and Cadian. They've been very helpful and very responsive. And I think we had a lot of work to do, but we got through it. And I think it's going really well at this point. I'm happy to take any questions. Any other things
I
might have
I have one, Ray Sweezy. First to Kelly. Kelly, do we have someone that reviews their numbers? Because we've been doing this for 75 years, calculating the pensions and stuff. I understand we have a lot of pensions now, and it was hard for HR. But in 2 to 3 years, we have approximately 455 employees now. After a couple hundred retire in the next couple of years, we'll probably come down to about 10 people per year, 5 to 10 retiring. Is this financially sound for what we pay Milliman to continue this service, say, in 3 to 4 years when we know our retirements are going to drop way off because people are younger? I mean, we'll always have a few, but do we have people in HR now that review this, that know exactly what's going on and will be able to pick this up on their own? Or are we letting our people walk away from this and we're not going to have anyone in HR that could handle this retirement as we have for the last 75 years?
Yeah, so what we've really done here is automated the process and worked with Milliman to do that. We will always have an understanding of, and now I would even say Cadian, who is the liaison with Milliman, has a better, deeper understanding of all the requirements of our pension. A lot of what they do, and they do get paid on a per member per month basis, and there's a difference between active and retiree per member per month participant costs. So I anticipate as more people retire, there'll be a lesser cost involved in the out years. But the administration that they do with the retirees also use the call center, also go through Milliman. So there will be, I think at a certain point when we get to that point where we have less retirees per month or per year, we'll have to revisit the administration. And as you know, as a public entity, we go out to bid every so often anyway. So we'll look at those requirements at that point and make those decisions. But I don't think we're ever going to lose the understanding of the pension administration. It's just more of a liaison with a consultant and support of a third-party administrator. I don't know, Scott, if you want to add to that at all.
Do we own the software for all this stuff that Milliman's doing now, or is it Milliman software?
Well, they developed their portal. It's their portal they developed for us. So they will continue to own their portal, and we own the data that's in that portal.
Is that
correct, Laura and Becky?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And Jill, I just want to add to that. If we remember when we had this discussion in PPI about whether or not we were going to proceed with this, the discussion was exactly that, is that do we invest in additional staff for training and all those good things to actually execute this work, or do we move forward with Milliman and their technology, which they support numerous other clients like ourselves, municipalities and such. And so that was the decision then to move forward with what we're doing today. But as Kelly said, we will constantly review that the need like we do on every budgetary item.
Mr. Chairman, through you.
I just want to make sure, Scott, we have someone in HR. I don't want to hear in 3 years from now we don't have anyone in HR that can handle this and we have to stay outside.
Well, I can tell you now, as I told you yesterday and Kelly just told you, is Cadian, who is really the trainee for Bob Zike, has a much better understanding today of the pension calculation and how it is to be performed and how it's to be performed correctly because of this exercise. So even if someday we decide to not utilize Milliman, Tadian is a smarter employee because of what we went through.
Thank you. And I'm strongly in favor of Milliman doing this because I know our SAS record. So
exactly.
I'm not against this, but I just want to make sure we have someone that can, you know, handle the questions also in HR. Thank you.
Mr. Patel?
Yes, sir. Along the same line what Ray was saying, that while we are doing all these things through the consultant, we should have our software in place and at the same time simultaneously at least two people among staff should be constantly working with them and be aware. For some point in time when we take it over, we have enough knowledge of software and whatever needs to be done.
I agree, Commissioner, and I would just say that any time we would transition services either back to us or to another vendor per se, we will have in our contract a knowledge transfer requirement on both sides, either both contractors, the one taking over, or coming back to us. So we will ensure we have the knowledge transfer back that we need.
So my question was even right now, somebody within our organization, besides the leaders, should be working with them and familiarizing what is going on, rather than ultimate transition time when it comes and learning A to Z again.
Yeah, Commissioner, this is Scott Jellison. That's exactly what we have said. Cadian, who is up in HR, that is her job. One of her duties is to work directly with Milliman. And I think that was already expressed in Milliman's presentation. They're not just working directly with Milliman, but with Cadian, but also with the finance department. So the simple answer is it's now been automated. We used to do this, you know, on paper, and even Aetna was doing everything on paper. Now it's automated, and Cadian is the lead point person. For HR to deal directly with Milliman.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Any other questions?
This is Olga. If I may just say something. This past year or year and a half, Bob has made it a point to sit with Cadian and myself and walk us through the pension sign-off process once we get the final numbers from Milliman. So we are very familiar with that process, and we have made sure to document step-by-step the actual pension sign-off process. But the actual pension calculations have always come from Milliman. They just came in paper form before.
Okay.
Thank you, Olga.
This is Al Curry. Mr. Curry.
Thank you. I support this move as well, and I think it's a wise decision to have someone maintain both retirement benefit and with balance and handling the recruiting retention benefits as well. My question was, have there been thoughts or will there be thoughts on providing employer-sponsored retirement programs to enable and encourage older workers to leave the workforce, something that while we may have some of our most senior employees that are working because they can't afford to retire but would like to now because they're old enough, we have a plan in East Hartford called the DROP plan where you sign up for a 3 or 5 year period and your retirement's frozen at that time. And the funds that would go into retirement basically go into an escrow account. So in 3 years when you retire, you might have, you know, $50,000 in the bank, and it's cost neutral to the town and it's cost neutral to the employee. And in fact, you know when employees are going to retire, and you can recruit and bring in new people at a lower salary. So I'm just wondering if that could be in the works.
Well, this is Al Taylor at this point. Mr. Curry, I have not heard anything to that effect, and this is something that we should be exploring and taking a look at. And I would ask you, Becky, are you familiar with anything like this or anyone in your shop? And how does this work? And do we have any age discrimination issues here or not?
Yes, we're very familiar with drop plans. A number of our clients have them in place already. They're a little tricky from an actuarial perspective because they are often pitched as cost neutral, as Commissioner Curry alluded to, but often in practice are not. So they need to be designed very carefully to make sure that everyone is comfortable with the potential for a drop plan to increase costs. We'd be happy to study that for you to see if it would be appropriate, just as we've studied for you a couple of times over the past bunch of years, whether some sort of an early retirement incentive might be beneficial.
Is this equivalent to an early retirement plan, Becky, or not? Is this the...
A drop is not an early retirement program per se. It is, from a management point of view, the advantage of a drop plan is that members are committing in advance to retiring at a specific time, and that can be helpful from a management perspective in being able to plan for the replacement of employees. From an employee's point of view, it's a trade-off. You stop accruing additional benefits while you keep working for another, typically 3 years or 5 years. You don't accrue any more benefits, so your monthly benefit stops growing. But the monthly benefits that you would have received if you had retired instead get put into an account. Not a real account, not a money account, just a paper account. And then when you do retire at the end of the 3 year or the 5 year period, you get a lump sum of the amounts that have been put into your account plus monthly benefits thereafter. There are a lot of details that vary from one drop plan to another. How much of your accrued benefit gets put into this account? Is the account credited with interest or not? While you are within this drop period, do you continue to make employee contributions or not? So there are a lot of variations on the theme, and those variations are part of what leads to the plan being cost neutral or not. For you, I think you'd want to consider very carefully how the existence of a drop plan would interact with your rule of 85 condition for having an unreduced pension. That might be a situation where a person entering the drop plan might benefit significantly relative to there not being a drop plan, so we'd want to take a look at that very carefully. We'd want to think through what the requirements are for someone being eligible for the drop plan. So there are a lot of nuances. There are a lot of danger areas. We've done a lot of this analysis with other plans, so we'd be happy to help you through that process as well.
I'm going to ask my committee members, excuse me, Mr. Johnson, just a minute here. If there is a consensus that we give this some consideration, since it's been proposed by Mr. Curry, do we want to take the time out at some point in time, not today, to have Milliman come in and do a presentation / discussion and decide whether or not this is something that we want to pursue?
Well, Ray Sweezy, I'd like to, at our next CP&I meeting, have it on the agenda, but without Milliman, and have our staff give us their thoughts, and then possibly if they believe it's something we should look at, then the following meeting, whether it's 3 months from now or 4 months from now, we then, if we decide to bring Milliman in, we do it at that time. But I'd like to hear from our staff first. what they believe the pluses and minuses might be.
Well, does our staff know about it?
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Mr. Dellison, yeah.
Yes, thank you. If I may, I'm not aware of the program, but I have a question for Becky. As we know, and I believe East Hartford is in this scenario, Becky spent a lot of time explaining to our board, PPI and the full board, why maintaining a defined benefit plan was so important so that our employees would have the financial ability to retire. And that was our biggest concern about going towards a defined contribution plan. So my question to Becky is, does a drop plan really apply to a defined benefit plan, or is it more for a defined contribution plan?
No, it is a feature of a defined benefit plan, Scott. But what it does is provide a retiring member with a lump sum plus monthly benefits, and that can be very attractive to some employees and might be viewed by some as an incentive to retire. It is not the only way to provide employees with some element of a lump sum at retirement. And in fact, I would have to say it's my least favorite way of doing that, because it brings with it the potential for not being cost neutral. And I think there are other probably better and certainly cost neutral ways that you might change the structure of the benefits so that there's some lump sum at retirement plus some monthly benefits. So that's one consideration with respect to a drop plan. There are a lot of them. They are tricky beasts. And I don't want you to go into them lightly, because they do have the potential to really blow up. I think if you Google Dallas Police and Fire, you'll see all the bad parts about drop plans. They can be perfectly fine, and there are lots of municipalities. Well, I wouldn't say lots. There are some municipalities in Connecticut that have drop programs, typically for police and firefighters, less commonly so for ordinary employees. Avon, I think, used them to good benefit for their senior, more supervisory level employees. And for Avon, the primary goal there was to have a smooth transition of senior leadership by having people commit several years in advance to retiring, and then they could hire in replacements and have a nice smooth training process of getting those replacements up to speed. I think you need to think about what would be the benefits for the organization. Are you at a place where you want to encourage retirements? You're going to see a lot of them. What are your needs over the next bunch of years? How do you want to use the structure of the pension plan to play into your bigger workforce management process?
To you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Patel. Yes, go ahead.
I think it is good to have a discussion with staff, but at the same time, will you ask staff to give us something writing before we discuss it, so that we have read something, researched something, and then ask intelligent questions?
Well, in addition to that, I guess one of the things is that I'm always curious when people say that it is dollar neutral. Because when you start playing with money, it must come from somewhere. And I guess I'm just very much concerned about that, so that I would want the people on the financial side to have significant input. Because one of the things I think that we have to really contend with is that we're getting a lot of pressure on our revenue streams, regardless of what it's used for. So I think I would want to have a very careful financial analysis. The more that I listen to